What up, everybody? This is Dom Lewis here, Philly Sports 444 Podcast, brought to you by nobody but me, myself and I, and the Lord Jesus Christ. But anyway, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening to this. I hope all is well with you guys. I'm recording this. It is September the 15th. I'm going to try to put it out the same day that I'm recording it, but this is September the 15th, 2023. It is 2:54 a.m., so I'm letting you guys know that before I even start this, I've decided to record this very, very late because I literally was about to go to sleep, and I'm like, I don't have any other time to record this weekend without getting it out in a timely manner, meaning that I felt like the reaction is raw enough right now for me to record. There's no way I could record it on Friday. There's no way I could record it on Saturday. The earliest I would be able to record if I didn't record now would be Sunday. And that would leave that it would potentially be out on Monday. So I just don't want to wait that long to react to the Eagles game that I saw tonight. September the 14th. So I just felt like I just needed to get at least like a half an hour out. And I'm going to just really try to keep it a half an hour. I felt like the last one was good timing and, you know, got straight to the points and was able to talk about what I want to talk about, get in and out. So before I actually start my podcast, I like to start, I'm trying to get into the habit of doing something like one of the best things I heard this week or things that I think are worthy of news. And I want you guys to listen to this clip from DeMario Davis. This was after the Saints game on Sunday, this past Sunday. So this is when they won it. I guess they beat the Titans. I guess they beat them 16-15. And I heard this is a clip of this interview that DeMario Davis did after, like, this is, you know, his post-game presser. And I just thought it was really, really special what he said. And I really feel like it's worth everyone hearing. So just take a listen.
Today, I have a word that I want to share. I know this is a little untraditional, so like I said, buckle up. Revelations 3:20 says, "See, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and eat with him and he with me." I want to tell y'all about a knock that I heard this week. A lot of people don't know this, but on Friday, my daughter, she's 4 years old, she had her third epilepsy seizure attack. It's my same daughter who survived retinoblastoma. She's been totally clear to that, but she had her third seizure, and it's been almost 2 years. She was about a month away. If she would have had no seizures for one more month, then she would have been off the medicine, but now we have to start that clock all the way over. It was on Friday when a bunch of kids were over at the house and she was playing and I noticed something was off. And I told her mom I thought she was having a seizure. Her mom was pretty good. She saw it, my wife, and we took her in her room, didn't want to cause a scene. And she started to foam at the mouth and it was her worst seizure. For 30 minutes, she seized. She wouldn't come and we had to call the paramedics. They came. And so over the course of time, it ended up being a total of 30 minutes. They got her in. My wife got in the paramedics with her. I got behind them driving. You can imagine all the thoughts that's racing through your mind. The last sight you see of your daughter is she's totally out of it. Got to the hospital, and my wife told me that my daughter stopped breathing in the car twice. So I'm, of course, praying. We get to the hospital. They give her a bunch of medicine. They seize to stop. She's laying there. And at this point, if she sees for 30 minutes, you start to fear there could be development issues that could mess with her brain. You know, she stopped breathing. If there was no oxygen going to her brain, you know, you're starting to think about her speech be slurred or anything, or worse. So we prayed and and she had medicine, and my wife and I had to stay overnight at the hospital. And in the middle of the night, probably about 3 o'clock, I heard a knock. And the knock was my daughter. I prayed for her. I said, "God, let this just be an attack from the enemy. It's just trying to be a distraction. And let him have overplayed his hand. And my daughter come back stronger than before." when I heard my daughter talk in the middle of the night, my daughter, she doesn't have any development issues, praise God. She doesn't have any slurred speech, you know, prior to this. She woke up talking clearer than she was talking before. Now, anyone who deals with epilepsy knows that it takes a little, a few days for them to come back. You know, they usually can't get back to normal wherever they were, but it takes a couple of days. They're groggy. It's a lot because what their body is like, it's like the TV just staticking in their brain. She was talking clearer than before, and it was 3 o'clock, and we heard her talking. We let her talk for about 20 minutes and said, hey, baby, it's nighttime. Let's go back to sleep. You know, and I just prayed. I started saying, praise God, praise God. The next morning when she got up, my daughter was so sharp. She was able to talk to me and her mom. I mean, clear conversation. She's sharp for a four-year-old. No stuttering. All her words clear. And my daughter, like I said, my daughter's already sharp. She was sharper than before. And if any of you were able to have a conversation with my daughter, you wouldn't know anything had ever happened. So we had a birthday party for my 7-year-old daughter that day. She got to be released from the hospital and she came back home. And it was as if nothing was happening. She was playing with the kids the day before. And she had the worst seizure that she had ever had. And the next day, she's back out there playing with the kids. Now, of course, we can't let her get overstimulated. We have to keep bringing her in. Have to keep cooling her down. Can't let her do too much just because of protocol. But when I tell you, I got a chance to see hear a knock from God. And what I want to share is we get to play this game, and it's great. And there's so many amazing things that happen in that game. And everybody wants to hear about them. But when we leave this game, we go back to being regular people. And regular people are living life. And people are waiting for a knock. And the word says who Jesus is, he's knocking at the door. All you got to do is get up. And so on the way, man, I'm nervous, but I'm praying. And I'm trusting. And I'm believing. And I'm asking for my daughter to make it through. I'm asking that she's better than before. And God gave me just what I asked for, plus some. I was blown away. And at that point, I knew, well, the game is going to take care of itself. My knock had already been answered. And I just want people to know, like, if you got stuff going on in your life, lay it before the Lord. Lay it before the Lord and trust. And be expecting of a knock. Because the word says what you have to do is you have to get up and open the door. He's not going to open the door for you. He's going to knock. But you have to be listening and waiting for the knock. And when you see it, you have to get up and open the door. And your blessing is going to be there. Now, I'm going to be here to talk about football next week. I wish y'all well. Happy Sunday and praise God.
All right. So that's the clip that I wanted to share with you guys. Pardon me if you couldn't hear it all the way. But I hope you got the gist of what I wanted to share. I just thought that one that was very, very special. I just wanted to share his testimony. I just thought that his testimony was extremely powerful. And it just puts things into perspective, you know, with not just football or anything, just life. Like, it puts things into perspective. Like, you could just be worried about all these things you're going through. There are all these things that are going on. But then, like, you know, this man was dealing with a real issue with his daughter. And has dealt with serious issues with his daughter. And just remained faithful. Always remained prayerful. And I just think that that's such a powerful sentiment. Sentiment. I'm told you it's like 3 a.m. But it's so powerful that you can remain so faithful and so prayerful during these times. And I think that can learn a lesson from him and his family. And I just thank God that his daughter is okay and that his family is still thriving and all of that. So I just wanted to share that. I thought that was bigger than football and it was worthy enough to share. Let's get into tonight's game. Eagles did win tonight. They are now 2-0. They won by a score of 34-28. A very up and down game, I would say. Game started out, it started out slow. The game started off slow. I mean, just the execution was off. RPO was just not working. And it was just a lot of the pensive type of play calls. Like, okay, I will say this. Their first 15 for this season really has not been that good. Like last year, I felt like the first 15, the scripted 15, it worked to the point where, like, I felt like we would score every time coming out. And this time, this year, I'm just, like, worried about, are we actually going to get a first down? And I think I will say this. They're still adjusting. They're still learning. You know, it's still some growing pains, right? And they are 2-0, right? But it just looks very stagnant. Very passive. Very conservative. And we, like, the expectations are they're going to remain high with this team. It does not matter that it's a new season. It does not matter that, you know, last year was last year. It does not matter. None of that matters. Like, this team got to the Super Bowl last year and was 3 points away from, you know, 4 points away from winning it, right? So fans are going to hold this team's feet to the fire. And if they're not performing the way we want them to perform, fans are going to voice their displeasure. And usually the displeasure is a boo. And it's not necessarily to boo the player. It's really to boo the product. And I think fans turn on coaches way before they turn on players. So, you know, there was a time where Jalen did something tonight. It was early on, like maybe like their second series. And like they did like the same RPO play call and like fans just started booing. And I was like, yeah, like boo. And, you know, I was saying in my group chat, like, boo him. But it's not like I want people to boo Jalen Hurts. I just want people, I want the team to understand, like, we're displeased with what's going on. And it's not even displeased with the effort. It's not about effort. Because I know the team is trying. But, you know, when it comes to, well, hey, we think you should run this. Or, hey, this, we know what this offense is capable of. We know what the team is capable of. And if we feel like they're not living up to their potential, it's very, very hard to remain patient. Especially when we see, like, okay. We're not coaches, we're fans, right? And we don't see everything that the coaches see, and we don't know everything that the coaches know. And we're not in game and everything like that. But all we want is for our team to use adequate, like, you know, effectively, adequately use their playmakers, right? We just want the ball in the playmaker's hands in order for them to try to make a play. If they fail, okay, they failed. But, like, at least it's in their hands where they can make a play for us. Or they have the opportunity to make a play. And it's just frustrating because they make so many mistakes. And then as soon as they, let me stop because I'm going too far ahead of myself. All right. All I want to say is to just basically end what I'm saying is it's just frustrating sometimes because we know what the team is capable of and we voice displeasure by booing because not because of effort, but I mean, you'll get booed if you don't give enough effort, but I don't think this team is lacking any effort. I think it's just more so them still trying to find their way. And we cheered in the second half, and I'll get to that too. So basically the game started off slow. The RPO, it just wasn't working, wasn't going. A passing game, the passing attack wasn't good. Jalen was under duress again. And he wasn't really making the best decisions. He was making good decisions, but not the best ones. Like that interception and the double coverage was just a bad decision. When I talk about Jalen, I hold Jalen in very high regard because I understand the kind of player he is, the kind of mentality he has, and he a dog. He a dog. And I feel like, you know, if he is being passive, if he is being conservative, I got a problem with that, because that's not what got you here. And if he's doing something and I know it's uncharacteristic of him, I'm going to be like, yo, you know better than this. And it's not to talk down to him, but it's like, this is my guy representing my team. And I need him to understand, like, this is unacceptable, what's going on. And I think that all fans feel that way. It's not just me. It's all fans feel this way. And I know that we're just the fans, but we're the fans. Like, we are just the fans, but we are the fans of this team. So, it just seemed like very uncharacteristic of him at first. Eventually loosened up. He threw a couple of bombs tonight, actually. He threw a couple of bombs. One that got called back. He threw a bomb to A.J. Brown and got called back. But he threw a bomb to Devontae Smith tonight at 63-yard touchdown. They opened it up a little bit tonight. Like, we had some explosive plays, which is what we were looking for. You know, not just fans, but the reporters and the media and everyone who covers the team. We were looking for those explosive plays, and they had a couple of them tonight. They're still trying to find their way, though. Goddard is still not really part of the explosiveness of this offense yet. And honestly, if your name wasn't, if your last name wasn't Swift tonight, you probably weren't being all that explosive. If your name wasn't Swift or Smith on the offense, you probably weren't that explosive tonight. So, DeAndre Swift and Devontae Smith. Ooh, tried to say that three times fast. Those were the two that really, really exploded on offense tonight. And much love to the offensive line, who actually got together and really, really mauled when they were able to run block. There's still the passing blocking is still not there like we want it to be, but they were like, look, we just need to run the football. And I respect them for that, because it's just like, look, I'm going to just take this ball, I'm going to run it down, you know, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. So they gained, I mean, they had 259 yards rushing tonight. Very, very, very awesome. Swift had 175 yards rushing. What was the stat line? Let me see, player stats. DeAndre Swift, 28 carries, 175 yards, averaged 6.2 per carry, and he had a touchdown. Boston Scott was 5 for 40. He went out with concussion tonight, though. Jalen was 12 for 35. Rashad Penny was 3 for 9. Devontae Smith, 4 for 131 yards. A.J. was 4 for 29. Dallas Goedert is only 6 for 22. So, like, you see, like, the passing game wasn't really there like that. Looking at the overview of the stats tonight, I mean, Jalen was 18 for 23. So he had a very conservative night. 18 for 23, 193 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Terrible interception, though. You know, just terrible interception. But I think that he'll correct that. Just looking at the actual team stats, let me see. They did outgain Minnesota tonight, 430 yards, 374 yards. But, I mean, Minnesota threw the ball for 346 yards. Eagles only threw it for 171. We rushed for 259 yards, like I said, and they only rushed for 28. So that was a big deal. And, you know, running the ball actually helps you in the time of possession battle, which the Eagles did win tonight, almost 40 to 20 minutes. So it really, really did help. I still think they have to be better on their third down efficiency. And they allowed 4 sacks tonight, which is uncharacteristic of the Eagles. So I understand they're still trying to work out things. And like I said, their pass blocking just isn't what it was last year. It isn't what we're accustomed to. But they did win the game. They did went to what worked, which is running the ball. When they finally started to really get Swift involved, he just started, like, you know, getting 6 yards a pop, 7 yards a pop, 5 here, 3 there, catching the ball out of the backfield. It opens up the pass game. I mean, it's an old adage, but it's like the run does set up the pass. And you have to really, you know, when you have a group of guys like you have on this offensive line, you got Lane, you got Mailata, Kelsey, Juergens, Dickerson. When you got these guys, you got Dallas Goedert. When you got these guys on your offensive line, like, and they're strong dudes. They want them all, people. Like, if they want to run the ball, just let them pass, let them run block, and let's run the football. I was saying that I really feel like I said, they're still getting accustomed to, you know, the season. It's only game two, and it was a short week, and they dealt with a lot of injuries. So they have all of that in their back pocket. Like, they dealt with a lot this week, and they still were able to come out with a victory. So I think there's a lot to be said. You know, you're missing half of your defensive starters. You're missing some key offensive pieces, and you still were able to come out with a victory tonight. I think they deserve some applause for that. I really do. I think they deserve some applause for that. I think they deserve some credit for that. But I will say this. One, I'm thankful for the game being tonight on Thursday, because now they have a mini bye where they can try to get these guys healthy. Two, I don't think I ever have to see Josh Jobe again. Like, if I ain't never see him play another down as an Eagle, I don't know if I'd be mad, because I don't think I would be. Like, I know tonight was his first start, but I'm just like, you know what? I've seen enough. I don't have to deal with Josh Jobe no more. And, like, half of those defensive guys tonight, they just, like, I mean, listen, the defense did his thing and they got turnovers, but man, oh, man, oh, man, like, just some of the stuff, some of the blown assignments tonight when the Vikings started really getting to the rhythm, I think it was not even the Vikings really getting in the rhythm, but it was blown assignments by the Eagles. And, I mean, Justin Jefferson did catch, like, 459 yards tonight. But still, like, you know, if we have Bradberry in there, if we have Blankenship in there, you know, I'm not sure that happens. But we really need our guys back. We need our starters back. So this night had to be a night where something had to give with the offense. And the defense set them up. Defense got turnovers. Defense got some key stops at the beginning of the game. I just really, really feel like our offense is just too stagnant at times. And this first 15 they have to come out more explosive. They got to come out better and really get the ball into the playmakers' hands and really spread the ball around. I really think that they can really put a lot of fear into these teams. Not fear, but I don't want to use the word fear. But they can really put these teams on their heels if they just really put the ball in the playmakers' hands. And I know it's easier said than done, but you got to draw something. You got to draw something that works for these guys. Like, I get it, there's growing pains, there's two new coordinators, but come on, like, something got to work. Something has to work, you know? So I'm not going to be too harsh. I was harsh during the game. I was very frustrated during the game because I felt like we left a lot out there. And I know that's something that Jalen used to say last year. We left a lot out there on that field, though. I really did feel that way. And I feel like they'll be better. But, I mean, tonight it was a slow start. I mean, listen, thank God for the turnovers that they got and then capitalizing on turnovers. Like, Jake Elliott hit a 61-yarder tonight right before halftime. You know, he tied his career high. And then, you know, they were able to get turnovers and capitalize off turnovers. And I think in the third quarter, we got a big turnover. And then we got a touchdown right after that turnover. That's what put the game, I think that's what made it 20-7. So, you know, just capitalizing on turnovers, that's a big thing. And getting the ball and getting 7 as opposed to 3. That's a big deal, too. I think that overall it's just growing pains with the team. And particularly with the passing game and the offensive coordinator, Brian Johnson. And I'm not here to talk about Brian Johnson being a bad coach at all. I'm just here to tell him to fix it. That's all. I'm just here to say, listen, I get it. You know, the team trusts you completely. You know, all of that stuff. I'm telling you, though, this has to be fixed. It cannot stay this way. It cannot be these close calls every week. And I know it's hard to win in this league. It cannot be close calls every week, though. This team is too talented, and they can be too explosive. And they have to be. They have to be. You have to have these explosive. And also, just stick to what works. Like, if running the ball is going to work, run the ball. I remember when Nick came here, I can go back as early as Doug. When Doug was here, you know, he tried to get too pass happy at times, and then he knew when to dial it back, and I got to get my dogs up here to just run block. Nick, his first year, he just was a pass happy coach, and he wanted to run things his way, but he saw him and Steichen, they saw what worked for the team, and they just cooperated, and they just really, really adapted, and they ran the ball down teams' throats. Pause. So you got to stick to what works. And the run worked for us tonight. The run could work for us against Tampa as well. We got to stick to our strength, though. We don't shy away from the run. The run always sets up the pass, in my opinion. It's not about passing. Like Seth Jordan always says it. He said that teams, they have this idea where they just want to pass the ball, have a sharp passing attack, and then run the ball later on in the game to run the clock out. No, the run always is always set up the pass. Run always does that. So I want this team to do it. I want this team to do that. Stick to what works. Like I said, better second half, more turnovers. I mean, they also let, you know, the Vikings score a couple of times. I think that's just, you know, like Joe had a explosive play happen to him, and then he let something else happen to him. Like, so I'm just like, you know, he allowed 2 touchdowns tonight. We need our starters back. We need Bradberry back. We need Blankenship back. You know, Avante Maddox got hurt tonight. Like, we can't, you know, he has to get healthy. He has to get healthy. So I think overall, I will say the win was a good win. I do have a top 5 for tonight, but I would say the win was a B minus. No, I'll give it a B because they scored 34 points. So you get a B. You get a B for putting up that amount of points, finding some playmakers tonight. But, you know, they still had, and they had a lot of penalties, which was uncharacteristic of a Nick Sirianni coach team. We want to try to look at the penalty stats now. Penalties, here we go. 7 for 45 as opposed to 2 penalties for 15 yards. Just, you know, a lot was taken away. You know, a couple of plays were taken away because of these penalties. And, like, you know, holding and false start and silly stuff. Silly stuff that they shouldn't be doing. I would say this. I watched the game and I was more frustrated than anything toward the end of the game because I felt like, yeah, I never felt like they were going to lose the game. But I also felt like we're just leaving too much out there. And I, like I said, I think they'll get this fixed, but they left a lot out there to be desired. And they'll correct it. They'll correct it. I know Jalen will get better. I got the utmost confidence in this team and this coaching staff. But, you know, fans are going to be fans. And I'm a fan. I'm a fan at the end of the day. And I want my team doing well. And I want my team to dominate. And I didn't feel like it was dominant. They haven't dominated anything yet. The only thing that's been dominant on the team, and this will lead me right into my next segment, is the defensive line. My top 5 stars or my top 5 mentions for the night as far as, like, players. So, first one I'll give to the defensive line. Josh Sweat had a good night. Fletcher Cox had a good night again. Jordan Davis had a good night. You know, the Baby Rhino had a good night. So, I don't know why Derek Barnett is still on this team. He's really, really not that good. But, you know, the defensive line had some really, really good plays out there. And, yeah, it just, they're dominant. They're the only dominant part of this team right now. So, the defensive line first. The second, I would say, DeAndre Swift. I really should be like 1 and 1A, like defensive line and then DeAndre Swift. Swifty, man, listen, I will say this. I hated that term Swifty because of who it was associated with. I'm not really a fan of that artist. But tonight I became a Swifty because of DeAndre Swift. So I am a Swifty tonight going forward. I hope that the Eagles do the right thing, and I hope that he continues to prove himself, you know, throughout the year, but I hope the Eagles do the right thing and bring him back. But DeAndre Swift had a monster night. Like I told you, his stats were 28 for 175 with a touchdown. Just a monster of a night. The third star or third person needs to be recognized, player, Jake Elliott again. You know, I know he missed that one field goal, but he made it up with the 61-yarder. So, you know, he just comes in, he does his job, he doesn't complain, and I respect him for that. So, Jake Elliott gets my third one. My fourth one would go to... I had it in my head and I forgot it. Oh, I can't forget about Smitty. I can't forget about Smitty. He's a dog, man. He is a dog, man. Devontae Smith is a dog. So just watch him, man. It's like, yo, you really think like he can be this dominant, like, because he's so small, like so skinny. But, you know, he dominates, man. He does. He gets out there and he dominates. And I know there was a kerfuffle, is that what they call it? Like a little skirmish between Hurts and A.J. Brown. I don't think it was anything. I don't think that's anything, honestly. I think it's just frustration with, you know, not the lack of explosiveness, but not executing on offense. And then him claiming probably that he was open. And then, you know, what happens? Hurts gets in the ball immediately after that meeting on the sideline. So, overall, I said 1, 2, 3, 4. So, I said defensive line. I said Swift. I said third person. Oh, Jake Elliott, Devontae Smith, and a fifth person or fifth player, I would say, really, really helped us in tonight heading into victory. Am I doing something? I'm guessing. I don't know. Let's see. Do. I don't really have anybody else, to be honest with you. I would say the only other... Okay, yeah, I got it. The offensive line, but only when it comes to run blocking. Like, they were able to run block and really just maul this team and their defensive line down. They were really ready to mow them down. So, those are my top five for tonight. The defensive line, Swift, Jake Elliott, Devontae Smith, and the offensive line in regards to run blocking. Just excellent performances by those five. And hopefully, you know, Jalen Hurts can make this list soon enough, because I really, really, you know, believe in him. I know he wants to get better. And we all want him to be better. And we trust him. And then that's the biggest thing. We trust Jalen. So I have no worries that they'll get it corrected. I just want them to correct it sooner than later. And I want our people to get healthy. That's the biggest thing. Before I end the podcast, I do want to talk a little bit about the Phillies. I think they're 5-8 in their last 13 games. And they lost the recent series to the Braves 3-1. They lost that series. So that was annoying. What's annoying so much is that this team is hitting. And this team gets down in games sometimes because of their pitching. And they storm back with the bats. And then we can't close games out because the pitching blows the games again. And I talked about this in the last podcast, but it's just really becoming a serious annoyance now, because our team is too good to fight back and to not get a W. They're like jacking up these home runs in the ninth inning and all this other stuff. And they can't, you know, do anything in extras because our players are tired or, you know, whatever may have you. So I just think it's a shame. Yeah. I want them to be better. I want them to be better. I really, really do. Got a weekend series coming up with the Cardinals. So let's see if they bounce back from that. They're still ahead in the wild card, 1.5 games, leading the top wild card spot. And I know they'll probably win it. But I need the team to be more consistent going down the stretch. They're pitching, particularly. Because the bats have come alive and they're hitting, which is great. But I need this team, the pitching, I need it to get, they got to get it in order. You know, we can't keep marching Sir Anthony Dominguez out there knowing he will give up 2 runs. And Jose Alvarado giving up another 2 runs. These dudes, listen, as talented as they are, man, they are having serious control issues at the moment. And they don't need to be in anybody's bullpen. They need to be sitting down or working the kinks out in AAA or something, boy, because this is ridiculous what's going on with these pitchers. Even Kimbrel can't skate the heat either. Like, you know, he's supposed to be our closer, and he's giving up runs too. He's giving up extras too. Like, it's just, it's frustrating. This team is so frustrating. And tonight, having an Eagles game one was a much welcome break from the Phillies, because The Phillies have just been very, very frustrating as of late. Having to fight back and then just losing after fighting back because of their shoddy pitching. I can't get over that. Like, I really have a problem with that. Like, if I'm storming all the way back for us to get us in a position where we can actually have a chance in the game, I can't have you giving it up. So, hopefully it works out. I don't know. Hopefully it works out. I don't know. Oh, it's just so frustrating with the Phillies sometimes. Because that's another team. Like, I know that they're better with what they're doing. And I know they might be slumping right now when it comes to their pitching. But October's around the corner. So I need you to be better. I need you to shape up. However you got to shape up. And that's it. And that's all. Like, I just want, you know, want them to be better. I do want them to be better. I think that's pretty much it for today's pod. Eagles don't play again until Monday night of next week. So they have Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Monday night of next week. But super, I'm not going to say super happy about the win. I'm happy about the win tonight. I'm happy, but I know there's things that need to be fixed. And I trust the team. I trust the players. I trust the coaching staff. I trust the organization to fix it. I just want it to be fixed sooner than later as a fan. And honestly, because, you know, there's going to be a time this year we're facing some tougher teams, and they're going to need to build up this callus. They have to. All right? So, good win. A B. That's my grade for tonight. I told you my five word for tonight, my five players that I thought made a difference in the game. And I talked about the Phillies. Please follow us. Follow me on social media at 444 Podcast. On TikTok at 444 Pod. But anywhere you type in FOUR, the number four, FOUR, FOR, and then the number four podcast, you'll be able to find me. So whether it's a couple videos of me, or you'll be able to find me. You'll be able to find me. All right? Please like the podcast on platforms that we have that we're on. We're on Spotify, we're on Google, we're on Apple, a couple other ones as well. I think like 7 or 8 platforms. So just take a listen. You can rate it if you want to. Subscribe. And yeah, just tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to give me a listen. Even if it's for 5 minutes, just give me a listen. Hopefully I will not disappoint you. I try to come on here and I try to be raw about my feelings toward the team. I try to incorporate a little bit of stats. But overall, like I said, I think it's just growing pains right now. Growing pains, also development right now, because they're not fully in season mode yet. Like, they're in season mode, but it's like they haven't built up the callus of the season yet. It's still like, still soft hands, still soft feet, whatever. That's just an analogy I'm trying to make. But you get what I'm saying. Like, it's not all the way up to par yet of what we expect football to be in November and December. That's all I'm saying. All right. So, good win. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Listen, subscribe, rate, share, all of that stuff. And hopefully I'll be talking to you guys on next Monday, not this upcoming Monday, but the following Monday, regarding another Eagles victory against Tampa Bay. Eagles are 2-0 in the season, so that's something to be happy about. And I know there's a lot to feel like you can complain about, but the Eagles are 2-0. And there's something to be said for that. Something to be said for that. So we can cheer, we can clap for that. And we'll worry about the mistakes later. All right? Until next time, everybody, that's it. That's all. Peace.